We're getting right into preaching. Okay, that's what you came for, didn't you? Amen. So, Brother Ed Rice, you get up here, wherever you are. Oh, you're over there. You changed seats on me. Amen. So grab your Bibles. We're going to get right into it tonight. 15 minutes. This is a good friend of ours and been around since the second Youth Ablaze. It's been around a while. Amen. God bless your brother.
Amen. Open that Bible up to Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11. Boy, it's good to be here. It's good again to have the excitement of Chi Lai. I love it. I live for this again in February in the dead of winter again to come up and see people made alive. I like that. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11. We started coming to Chi Lai after our oldest son came out here. He's in Baghdad tonight, by the way. And we came out in 1992. He came out in 1991. He came out he come back from Chi Lai just on fire for the Lord and changes in his life. And we said, we need to go out there and find out what's going on in Chi Lai, New York. And was it 91? 92? So 93 was our first year. For a second year, anyway, we came out and we've been coming ever since. And just, again, what we see here again and the Spirit of God moving has been that way every year that we've been out here. It's just been precious and been exciting. And boy, we appreciate again, all three of our boys made spiritual decisions out here. Our youngest son was saved out here. And I love coming to Chi Lai. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. I want you to mark that verse in your Bible. I want you to be able to find this verse. I want you to be familiar with this. I would have said, if you don't remember anything else from this 3 days, remember this. But boy, if you don't remember anything else from these 3 days, there's something wrong with your member-er, all right? This has been precious. It's been exciting to hear and be in the presence of God and learn about what that means. Exodus 33 and verse 11 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend." Father, I praise you again. Thank you for your word. Lord God, I pray again that you'd get a hold of some young people here tonight. Cause, Father, again, that they'd want to be a friend of God. Lord God, as your friend, that they would learn, as Moses learned, to speak to you face to face as a man speaketh with his friend. And Father, I pray again. And first I want to praise you that that's not withholding from anybody in this room. That anyone in this room could be your friend and speak to you face to face. And then we'd ask, Father, again, that your Holy Spirit would tug on some young preacher's life. That your Holy Spirit would tug on some young lady's life. That your Holy Spirit would tug on a life here. Cause again that they'd have your desire to be a friend of you that would speak face to face. We'll give you the praise in the name of Christ we pray and amen. As we look at this portion of scripture, I used to, when I was a teenager, had a life verse, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I held on to that. When I surrendered the ministry, I decided that it's good to surrender your body as a living sacrifice, but it is better to be a friend to God. Now, I picked up this verse, and boy, I'll tell you what, you're not going to make it as a Christian unless you have a friend that sticks closer than the brother. We want to look here at what it means to have a friend, first off, and then to have God as our friend. If you have a friend, I was going through my life, and I heard a preacher one time say that in his lifetime, he could count on one hand the number of friends that he had. And I thought, boy, that's a pretty sorry fella. But you know, after I got older, I figured out, and I'll go ahead and say this, that hey, I can count on my hand the number of friends that I have in this world. You think about that. My wife, praise the Lord, I got married when I was 19 and been married longer than Brother Brown has. I'm not nearly that old, she's a friend to me. And you think about what a friend is. You don't talk to a friend about the weather. You don't talk to a friend about things. You talk to a friend about ideas, about aspirations, about hopes, about intimate things that you couldn't share with anybody else, and yet they still like you after the conversation. Listen, that's what a friend is. Someone that you could share your most intimate thoughts with, and they would not think less of you for doing that. someone that you could again get with and just share everything that's in your heart and in your soul, everything that's gone through your mind and your life, and you could share that with someone intimately, that is a friend. Let me go ahead and say that, hey, normally in a lifetime, if you have five friends, five people that you can share that intimately with, and they'll still love you and you'll still love them, goes two ways. Listen, that they can also share with you the most intimate things in their life. And they can trust you with the most intimate facts of their life. And know that you'd never go and tell someone else that to hurt them, to harm them, to interfere with their life. You again have a friend that's closer than a brother. The Bible says the brother's born for adversary, and I've had some of them adversarial relationships, all right? But boy, I want that you could have a friend here tonight. And I want again that you could have one that's intimate and closer than the brother. Look down with me in this chapter to verse 14, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Boy, I like a friend like that. Here's an infinite God, talking to a finite, frail human being. And the Bible says that this was a man here. And we heard this afternoon from Brother Willie O'Dowd. He wasn't a superman. He wasn't any different than anybody in this room. He was not made up of any special DNA. No, he was just a human. But he learned to be a friend with God. And a finite mind trying to befriend and to comprehend an infinite God. It'll take a lifetime to do that. Boy, again, understand, here's Moses, and he had a promise of the peace of God. Look down at verse 18, and he said, I beseech thee, this is Moses speaking, show me thy glory. Boy, again, when you have a friend, you want to know everything about their life. And listen, they want to know everything about your life. There's some verses in the Bible that I don't know what to do with, especially with Calvinism running rampant in our Baptist circles. And that is that God ponders my heart. In other words, what does that mean? That means he wonders at what's going on inside of me. Now, I know that steps outside the omniscience of God for some of us, and we get nervous. But God ponders your heart. God watches you and wonders what in the world is going on inside of your soul. One of the reasons that prayer is so important is because you can share with God what's going on inside of your soul. I know that's bad theology, but boy, that's very practical. You can have a friend that you could talk to face to face in God. Moses had it. Boy, again, I'd have you mark in your Bible Exodus 33:11 before we leave there and turn to John chapter 5. If you're going to have a friend in God, if God's going to be your friend, if you're going to develop a relationship and a friendship with him where you can talk with him face to face, I want you to know you can't do that as a dead person. Bible says in John 3, except a man be born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. It also goes on in that chapter and says, except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 18, it says, except you be converted, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Listen, if you're here today, you've never been born again. If you're here today, you've not been converted. They're the same thing. Listen, you can't be a friend to God. Step number one is that you're not dead. That you are made alive and you have eyes that can see the kingdom of God. You have, again, a presence of God in your life. John chapter 5, if you're turned there, is an interesting chapter, an interesting dilemma that John portrays to us, but Jesus gives here. Look at me first at verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Listen, you'll not be a friend to God unless you recognize who he is. They didn't recognize who he was. There's a lot of people that named the name of Jesus. One of them was running for president and said, hey, I'm a Christian just like you're a Christian. He wasn't. He's a Mormon. Listen, They don't serve the same Jesus I serve, that's God in the flesh. So again, understand, you got to understand who he is. And then look at this next part. I don't know where to cut into it in the time I have. But it says here, for the Father loveth the Son in verse 20, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that they may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead. Listen, if you're going to be a friend of God, you're going to have to be raised from the dead. It says in Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened. Quickened. That means made alive. That means you was once dead, but you've been made alive. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Look what it says in verse 21. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Verily I say unto you, the hour is come, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Listen, the Son of Man can quicken whom he will. And if you come to him, he'll not cast you out. He'll quicken you. He'll make you alive to this week. If you're here today and you've never been born again, if you're here today and there's a doubt about that in your heart, in your life, every preaching that's been up here has been to pry that doubt as wide open as you can get it and look at it. Boy, make sure you're quickened. Make sure you're alive. You'll not be a friend of God until, number one, you're alive to God. He's indwelling you. He's come and he saved your soul. Step number one. Step number two, look at John chapter 17. Just over a couple pages. John chapter 17 should be called the Lord's Prayer. For it is the Lord's Prayer. John 17, just a couple verses here. Look with me at verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. I'll let you finish that chapter for time's sake, but again, understand that, hey, once you are quickened, you are made one with God. You are, let me go ahead and say this, some of you will recognize this, you are one flesh with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why marriage is so important. That's why the symbol of marriage is held very sacred by God, because again, it is a picture of being one flesh, a man and a woman united in an intimate friendship that goes beyond all description that we could do. Although Brother Brown was coming pretty close the other day here. I guess that was today here. But listen, a oneness with God. If you're going to be a friend of God, you're going to have to be one with God, and that's got to be fulfilled in your life. You've got to be born again. Turn back a couple chapters to John chapter 15 and look at this last point again. You're going to have to abide in him. John 15 and verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Understand again that you're going to have to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. I preached a message about stepping out of a position as a Christian. Once you're saved, you've got a position in Christ. You're not locked in there. You can step out of position. How do I know that? I've stepped out of my position before, okay? You can step out of your position in Christ, and you can do some things that ain't very Christian. And listen, once you're out of the position, you're not abiding in Christ. If you're going to be a friend of God, you're going to have to be abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look now at the last here, and look what happens to you in verse 15 of this tremendous chapter, John 15, 15. Tie this verse again with Exodus 33, 11, and you have a good study about a relationship with God that will change your life. Verse 15 says, henceforth I call ye not servants, For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. Why did he call you friends in that verse? Look at that. Why did he call you a friend in that verse? I'm not going to call you servants anymore. We hear a lot of preaching here that you ought to serve God. Boy, you ought to. But listen, Jesus said, I'm not going to call you a friend anymore. Because I have shared with you the most intimate being, the most, all of my thoughts and desires, everything that God has planned for the future, everything that has happened in the past has been recorded for you. He has shared it with you. And listen, if you know that, he's not going to call you a servant anymore. He's going to call you a friend. Do you know that? Have you been digging? Have you found some of his servants of old who in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Boy, listen, if you'll explore some things in this book, you'll find that God has shared his most intimate plans for the future. The most intimate relationship that he's ever had with humanity in the nation of Israel are all portrayed in a book. Boy, again, we need to know God, for he has given us a knowledge of everything that is in his plan and in his heart. Consequently, you can be a friend of God, and you can share with him everything that's in your heart, everything that's in your life. We've talked about getting alone with God and standing in his presence. Listen, you could do that just like Moses did. For the Lord spake to Moses face to face, as a man speaketh with a friend. Brother Rustin.